want to start in Hebrews, the 3rd chapter. Hebrews 3:13. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. We want to talk to you about the deceitfulness of sin. The lying of sin. When we were young and our parents dealt with us and told us what to do and not to do, and we were punished for the things that we did the wrong way, none of us ever felt like, really, that the things that we were doing were necessarily bad. We were in the process of being taught they were bad. But we didn't necessarily think they were bad. We felt like it was okay to do. If we wanted, we were hungry and we wanted a cookie, we know mother said not until dinner, but there was nothing wrong with a cookie. We didn't look at it as sin. We didn't look at it as disobedience. We just looked at it. It was something that we wanted. And though mother had said not to do it, we still felt like there was nothing wrong with having a cookie before dinner. And so we helped ourselves. Well, the deceitfulness of sin is that after I helped myself to that cookie that I didn't feel like there was anything wrong with, and I ate that cookie and I enjoyed it, and there was some pleasure in it, when mother found out, then came the punishment. And when everybody else, maybe after dinner, got to have several cookies, you didn't get any. And you pretty soon learned that the deceitfulness of sin is it promises something really good. It promises that the taste of that cookie is going to be really, really good. And you really enjoy it. But the deceitfulness is that there's a price to pay at the end. And so people out here in the world, as we grow up, we get to the place to where we are teenagers. And if we haven't decided that we want to serve the Lord, everything inside of us is saying, when I leave home, when I leave home, when I can turn 18, when I graduate, when I can get out of here, I'm getting out of here. I'm tired of everybody telling me what to do, telling me I can't do this, I can't do that, being punished for things that I want to do and I don't see anything wrong with. And I look at life like that, and then I get to that age and I pack my bags and I leave. And the deceitfulness of sin is that it promises so much. See, in my mind, I've worked out, and it isn't just been you alone in your mind, it's been you and the enemy talking to you in your mind, has worked out this plan. I've got a plan. I've got a plan about what I'm going to do when I get out of here and how I'm going to do it and how I'm going to live my life. And I have it all worked out, the results from all of that. The results that are going to come. And I'm going to be able to have this and do that, and I'm not going to have to do it the way that I've been raised or the way that I've seen. And I've got it all worked out in my mind. I'm just a teenager, but I've got it worked out. Don't you know that the enemy comes in on teenagers and lets them think that they've got it all worked out? They've got all the things that their parents have strived for and worked for and took years to accomplish, they feel like they're going to go out there and they're going to have it right away. They're just going to get it right away. You remember how a lot of us did it. We went out and our first place wasn't very much to speak of, and all the furniture in it was given to us by somebody. And we started out little and slow and nothing. Well, that isn't the way they want to start now. And you know what they do now instead? Instead of, they say they're in love, they say they want to be married and all. Instead of that, because I want the big ceremony, I want the big wedding, and I want the house already there, and I want all the furniture already in it, they put off marriage. for years. We'll just live together. Isn't that sad? Because the very thing they're living in, which is that small little place they can't afford yet, and all the furniture is being given to them, and everything, the only thing they don't have is marriage. Isn't that deceitful? They're starting out the same way all of us started out, but they won't do the one thing that makes it right in God's eyes, the marriage part. That part they won't do. Sad, isn't it? But see, the deceitfulness of sin, it promises great things, but it delivers on nothing. It doesn't deliver. So, in Hebrews, the 3rd chapter, the 13th verse there, where it says, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Do you know that after a while, living in sin, we're hardened? We're hardened. Why are we hardened? It says it's because of the deceitfulness. Because everything we had figured out doesn't turn out. And because of all the disappointments, we get hardened. But the disappointments are a natural, they naturally come from sin. Disappointment comes from sin. Those things come from there, and I want to live there, but I don't want what happens there. And because it doesn't work out like I want, and no matter how hard I try, I'll do most anything except turn to God. And the deceitfulness of it is that it isn't going to work out. The enemy wants you to think it's going to eventually. If I just keep working at it, I'm going to get there. But that isn't true. It doesn't work like that. And that's the deceitful part. I feel like having my own way is going to accomplish something, but that's the deceitful part. Because very rarely do we reach the, so to speak, pinnacle of what we can be without being challenged and instructed and disciplined in some kind of way. So when I only want my way, I'm not going to even reach what God or what even mankind would think is a good place for a human being to be. We have to have the challenge. We have to have the discipline. We have to have those things. But the deceitfulness of sin says, I can do it my way. I can have it my way. I can open up and do all the things that anybody else doesn't want to do. I can do all those things, and I can still do all right. I can still make it. I can still have what everybody else has, and I can still be happy regardless. But that's the deceitfulness of sin. Sin doesn't breed happiness. It's an impossibility to have sin in your life and expect to be happy. They're two opposing forces. Doesn't work that way. Oh yes, there's a little bit of pleasure in sin. Just like eating that cookie was a little bit of pleasure in it. Yeah. Sit there off by yourself, hidden away, and eating that cookie. Oh, it was so good. But then later, it wasn't so good. Yeah. And that's how sin is. It's deceitful. So, deceitfulness is a dishonest, it's trickery, it's a misrepresentation of what it's really going to be like. Now, isn't that the enemy? Isn't he dishonest? Isn't he full of trickery? And doesn't he misrepresent everything? When he talks to you in your mind, and dear ones, he talks to us way too much in our minds. We let him in there way too much. But when he does, he always misrepresents what is really happening. He misrepresents things so that you'll be hurt. He misrepresents things so that other people will be damaged. He's always misrepresenting something and trying to get you to think something that really isn't true. That's the enemy's work is to deceive you.
Yes.
To deceive you into believing that you can live for him. But all of us don't say that, do we? We don't say, I'm living for the devil. Those people out there on the streets and everybody out there that's in sin, they don't say, I'm living for the devil. If you said, who's living for the devil? They're not going to raise their hand. Because they don't feel like they're living for the devil. I just want my own way. I just want to do it my way. And someday I'll live for the Lord. But in the meantime, in the someday that you'll live for the Lord, all those days before you get there, you're living for the devil. It's just the way it is. There's only two kingdoms. And there's only two places you can be. You're either in one or you're the other. So that's the very thought of, I'm not living for the devil, is deceitful. It's deceitful. And he'll get in your mind and he'll tell you, yeah, you're not living for me. You're not living for me. You just want to do this. It's all right. They've been so bad and they've kept you down and you just need to be free so that you know, but you're not living for me. You're not going to go that far. It's to live for me. The deceitfulness of sin, you see. All right, turn to Titus. Titus, the third chapter, third verse. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hatred, hating one another. Then it says in the fourth verse, But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Isn't that a wonderful thing? And isn't that what everyone that's gotten saved has experienced? It's the after that. And usually we don't have any desire to go back to that. Because we've realized some things. We've realized what takes place out there in sin. So here we have the scripture that says, we're sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hatred, hating one another. Do you realize that when you say to yourself, I just want to run my own life, do you realize that you're not going to run it? You're not going to run it.
No.
See, that's the deceitfulness of it. You think that you're going to have control over everything that happens because I'm going to have control of what I'm doing. But you don't have control when you're in sin, even of what you're doing. But you can be fooled for a while to think that I have some control. And the enemy will let you feel like that. He'll leave you alone and he'll let you get real strong in yourself and feel like you're really accomplishing something. You're really getting somewhere. I've got it made. I knew that if I did it my way, I knew things would work out. That's the deceitfulness of it. Because the enemy knows how to stand back and let you just plod along and feel so secure. And all the things that your parents told you or that the minister said, none of it's happening to you. I'm so to speak, beating the system. I'm making it. Until all of the other things start coming along with it, see? The other things that come along where the lusts and the pleasures begin to take over. See, we all think when we go out there, we're just going to indulge a little.
Yeah.
Just a little. And we draw some lines, so to speak, in the sand. And it is in the sand.
Right.
And you know how sand shifts.
Right.
And so we draw these lines in the sand. And I'm not going past there. I know better than to go there.
Yeah.
But this little here, this doesn't seem so bad. But every little step we take, see, just makes that shift, the sand shift some as we take those steps, and the sand kind of runs away from your foot and runs, and it just keeps shifting sideways. And the more you take, the more the sand shifts, and pretty soon that line is not real visible about where I said I wasn't going to go. And then I've gotten a hold of these lusts, and this is what happened. At first, the lusts are small. And you might get a little twinge of something, and you might feel like, ooh, you know, that, you know, I really enjoyed that, but maybe I shouldn't do that. You know, you get that little twinge, you know. But the problem, this is the deceitfulness of sin, is that once you've indulged once, it's not the end. It's not the end. The deceitfulness of sin says you can stop. You can stop now. Okay, you're not going any farther. I'm not going any farther. And that's the deceitfulness of sin. You can stop. You can stop right here. You don't have to go any further into there. But the scripture says you start serving a servant, bondage. You start serving the diverse lusts and pleasures. And this is what you find out. You go out there and you indulge some. You go someplace that's a little questionable and indulge in some things, and you kind of feel pretty good while you're there, and it's kind of a little bit fun, and you feel, you know, a little freedom, and you indulge, and you sometimes get some of that little false courage, a little bit of drinking, a little bit of something, you know, they kind of, and pretty soon you feel like you're fitting in, and you feel like people are liking you, and then you go home. And you go, well, that was kind of fun. Yeah. You know, and nothing bad happened. Nothing bad happened. But you know what I find out? I find out that I want to go back. I want to go back. At first, maybe I only want to go on Friday nights. But pretty soon, I want Saturday nights, too. Yeah. And then pretty soon, you know, a night during the week, I'd kind of like to go. I kind of like to spend more time and more time, and you're just slipping and sliding right in, and you begin to serve the lusts and the pleasures in life. You become a servant, and pretty soon what happens is that you look at it and you go, I desire it so much, I can't stay home now. I can't do it. I can't stop wasting my money. Here I was saving money, and I was keeping it, and I was going to do some things with it, but I gradually dipped into it over and over because some of these places are expensive. And I find out that I'm depleting what little bit of savings I had built up that I was so proud of, that I knew I could do this out here on my own. And I start depleting all of that, and I start serving these lusts. I start serving them. I'm the servant now. And they're the master. And I find myself not being able to quit. And I keep saying, okay, I'm not going back. I'm not doing this again. I'm not going to waste my money like this again. But I find myself, within a week or so, I'm right back doing it again. You see. But I keep telling myself, I can stop. I can stop. You know, I want to stop, but I just haven't quite. But I'm going to stop. I'm going to stop. But I'm a servant already. I'm in bondage already.
That's right.
So then, as time goes on, it says here, living in malice and envy and hateful and hating one another. You see, I didn't feel any of that maybe when I left home, except maybe a little bit of malice towards my family. A little bit of malice towards them. But I felt pretty good after I got out there. I could even look at my family in a pretty good light after I got out there on my own and decided I was going to run it my way. And then I get to the place to where now I'm living in malice. I'm living in it. Because, you know, all those people out there that are trapped in all that stuff and are serving all these pleasures and lusts,
yes.
They are caught and in bondage too.
That's right, sister.
And they don't care anything about you.
Right.
Any way they can use you, any way they can abuse you, whatever, that's all they care about.
Right.
So pretty soon you start getting that way. You start feeling like, you know, why am I letting them run over me? I need to run over some of them back. I just start living there, see? I start living in malice and envy. I look around and I see that one over there. He seems to have it together.
Yeah.
You know, he's got the flashy car and he's got, you know, a better place to live than I do. And he always seems to have money, you know. And I've heard little things about where he gets his money. But I don't know. I don't know if that's really where he gets it. And I'm kind of envious. And you know, once envy gets a hold of you, it doesn't let go. You start serving envy too. You start serving it. And pretty soon envy gets to the place to where you say, well, you know, if I can make a little bit of extra money, it wouldn't hurt. To just this once. You know, they promised me if I, you know, just this once that I'd get this chunk of money. You know, just deliver this little package, whatever. Just this once. I'm short this week. Been spending up my money. Been putting it on pleasures. I'm servant to them, can't stop, and I need a little bit of extra money. You see, the deceitfulness of sin leads you. And it traps you and gets a hold of you and just pulls you in.
Yes. Yes, it does.
And there's only one way out, dear ones, and that's Jesus.
Amen.
He's the only one who can get you out of this downward slope.
That's right.
You know, they have the great big silos full of grain. There have been many people, many men, that have lost their lives in those silos of grain because they fall in. And the more they struggle, the more the grain moves, and they sink deeper and deeper. And before you know it, they are sucked all the way down. They start panicking. They start moving more, and the grain starts shifting more. And all of a sudden, they're going under, and now they can't breathe, and they suffocate in there. That's what the deceitfulness of sin is like. It just keeps pulling you under. And you can put up a struggle, but without Jesus Christ, your struggle is in vain.
Amen.
It's in vain. You will never be able to get out of sin's clutches. You will never be able to get out of the deceitfulness of it, that it promises so much and delivers nothing.
Yes.
Absolutely nothing. Now I'm hateful, and I'm hating one another. This is where I'm at now. I'm hating. All of a sudden, this life that I have, I hate this life. I hate my life. I went out with such big expectations. I was going to live my life. I was going to love my life. I was going to have everything I wanted and the way I wanted it and the timing I wanted it. I was going to have it all. But now I've gotten to the place to where I just hate my life. I hate going to my job every day. You know, I hate the people I see. I hate the people that used to be married. I hate being around them. I hate everything. Just living there. And the deceitfulness of sin is that there's that little voice in your head that keeps saying, you can get out. You can pull yourself out of this place. You can do this. You know, just keep working at it. You can do it. You know, switch your... I know what you need. You need a different job. That's going to do it for you. You know, you need to move to a different name. Get a few different friends. Just do it. You know, change something. Just change something out here. Change the circumstances that I'm living under. Change those things, and things will go better. But the deceitfulness of sin is that sin is in you. You can't change everything around you and make it any better because the sin is in you.
Yeah, yeah.
And the deceitfulness of it is that I can change all this around me and it'll get better. But sin is inside. All right. Mark 4. Mark, the fourth chapter. We're going to take one verse out of the middle of a parable. Mark 4:19. And the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Everything that you ever knew was good, everything that you ever believed was right, everything that you ever said in your mind, you know, someday I'm going to go be saved, and I really think that they've got it right. Someday I'm going to go back to my mother's or my grandfather's church. Someday I'm going to do what the Bible says. Someday those scriptures that I learned in Sunday school, I'm going to go back to that way of life. Someday I'm going to do that. But this is what happens out there. This is the deceitfulness of sin. It says, and the cares of this world. Well, you got a lot of cares now, don't you? Out there on your own, doing it all by yourself, thinking that you're going to make it. Everything's going wrong. You're sinking deeper and deeper. You're doing things and cross lines you never thought you'd cross. And here you are stuck out there. And what are you still wanting? All the cares, see, all the cares of the world. In other words, the cares of just making it in this sin-darkened world. Just being able to breathe. Be able to make a living. Be able to pay your bills. Just the cares. Just simple everyday cares are beyond what you can handle anymore. And then it says, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word. Now, you know, everyone that has ever had anything to do with the Lord, been raised in some kind of a godly home, been told at least about Jesus in Sunday school somewhere, something, whoever those people are, I believe there's some people that maybe haven't heard very much, but in our society, and all of us in here, we've heard plenty. We've heard plenty. We know about Jesus. Isn't it funny how that we know about Jesus? We know about He delivers. And we know about all the different things that we were taught as we were growing up. But He is the last person that comes to your mind on how to get out of all your troubles. You think of all manner of things. You go all different directions. But He's the last one. And even those Sunday school verses and even that love that you used to feel from your family and all of that, all of the deceitfulness of sin and all the sin crowding in, and that you're getting further and further and more in the clutches of the enemy every day, it's choking you.
Yes.
None of us would stand still and let somebody choke us. We wouldn't do it. We would struggle, we would fight, we would grab hands, we would, you know, do whatever we could to get loose if somebody was choking us. But the deceitfulness of sin, all of these things, that it begins to choke the very life out of you. Any little tiny bit of life that came from God in your upbringing, He begins to choke it out of you. So that pretty soon you don't even think about that I can go to God and get out of here. It doesn't come to your mind anymore. It isn't brought up anymore. You're not even really feeling guilty anymore. You're just so tired of your life. You're just so tired. And all the time, the deceitfulness of sin, of riches and lusts and all these things, they're just choking you and choking you and choking you. And it's like you're just a passive victim. You just lay there and let Him just choke the life out of you. Because He's choked the word out of your mind. You can't hardly even think about God anymore. You can't hardly even get to the place to where you remember any verses that you learned as a child. You can't hardly think about even the song service or any of the songs you used to know.
Yeah.
It just chokes you. Chokes every bit of life, God-giving life, out of you the longer you're in sin. Now there's a purpose. There's a purpose for it. Romans 7:1. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. That is not the scripture I want. All right, I'll just say what the scripture says. It says that sin has deceived me, and by it slew me. The whole idea that the enemy has in his mind is to kill you.
Yes.
Just to kill you.
Yes.
He just wants the breath to leave your body.
Yes.
He wants your heart to stop. And he wants it all to happen while you're right there in sin, so that he has you forever.
Yes.
And do you know, it's not because he wants you to be with him. That isn't it. Because all the things he's been perpetrating on you, he has an abundance in him. He has malice towards you.
Yes.
He has hatred towards you.
Yes.
Why? Because you were created for God.
Yes.
And because he hates everything about God.
Yes.
And everything that he represents. Then he hates his creation. And it isn't that he wants, I want millions with me in hell. You know, that isn't going to make him feel better. He just has malice, anger, hatred towards God and anything to do with God. And that's where he's trying to get you.
Yes.
To where you have malice and hatred toward God and anything to do with God.
Yes.
Thank you. 7:11. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Sin. Sin, the deceitfulness of sin is, I'm going to go out here and live my life. I'm going to live it how I want to do it. I'm going to do everything my way. Things are going to work. It's going to work out for me.
No.
And the deceitfulness of it all is that sin is there to kill you.
Yes, it is.
It's just to kill you. It's just to end your life.
Yes.
Snuff you out. Because God breathed life into your nostrils. And the enemy wants to snuff it out. All right? 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. 15:33. Be not deceived. Deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Listen, dear ones, we ought to know this. We ought to know this. We ought to know that everything that we allow to come around us does something to us. We either surround ourselves with good things and the good comes with it to us, or if we surround ourselves with bad things, the bad thing comes to us. But the deceitfulness of sin says, you can walk down the middle of that. And I know there's some bad, but I'll have some good too. That's the deceitfulness of sin.
Yeah.
There is no good out there.
Yeah.
It's if you receive any good, what you consider to be good, it's only because the enemy looks at it and says, oh, I can slay him with this. In other words, if money is your issue, like that rich young ruler, if money's your issue, he knows how to slay you with it. Oh, all he has to have is money and he'll stay here? I'll give him money. He's the prince of the power of the air here. He can grant those kinds of things to people. And he'll let them have money and riches. Oh, fame is what's going to do it for you? That's what's going to do it? Being recognized and being important? Oh, well, I don't have a voice, so being recognized and being important. Politics. Let's go to politics. Let's go there and be important. Do you know that all the political systems in this world are all of this world? None of these political systems are of God's kingdom. None of them. So if you're looking to the political systems to help you and bless you and all, you're looking to the wrong place. Because they're a worldly system. So whatever you need to let you just stay in sin and sink a little lower and lower, you know, maybe I never felt like I was very handsome or pretty, you know, but now I can go out there and do a lot of things. I can go out there and I can change my dress, I can change the way I look, I can even have surgery. Change myself altogether and go out there. That's all you need. That's the devil says, that's all you need. That's all you need to stay here in sin. Well, I can do that for you. I can give you that. I can grant you that. I can give it to you. Whatever it takes for you to stay in sin, I can give it to you. And the deceitfulness is, it promises you recognition. It promises you wealth. And you feel like you're going to be so happy if you have wealth. And it promises you that if everybody desires you and looks upon you and thinks you're beautiful, then my life is going to be complete. And you tell me how many people have died under the knife of cosmetic surgery. He figures he'll get a few just like that. He'll get a few like that. He won't even have to take them all the way. They'll just make some mistakes. He'll get a few. You see, the deceitfulness of sin. How it just works and works and works. And just keeps promising you and promising you. And if this avenue doesn't work out, and you're just about fed up, and you're just about to the point to where you don't know what to do, and you don't know where to go, and everything. And if the enemy thinks at all that you begin to have any thought of God at all, oh, let me stop this. Let me throw some goodness their way. All of a sudden, something happens. You get an advancement at work. Or somebody recognizes you on the street. Or somebody walks into your life and all of a sudden, oh, I have a new romance. Takes my mind off all of that I was getting so discouraged over. And almost turning to God. The deceitfulness of sin. Trickery. Misrepresentation. And the enemy just put someone in your life that is going to be so detrimental to your soul. Somebody that he has a good hold on. Somebody that is going to promise you happiness and romance and love and care for the rest of your life. And you get in there and what you end up with is being beat every day. He promised you something big. But what do you get in the end? See, the deceitfulness of sin. So all those people around us, all the things around, it's going to corrupt us. If you don't surround yourself with God, His people, the Word, prayer, the good things in life, if you don't surround yourself with that, then the deceitfulness of sin is going to surround, you're going to be surrounded with other things, and it just is made to corrupt you. Do you know what corruption means? Decay. Do you know what happens before decay? You're killed. You're dead. Then corruption comes. You see what I'm saying? It's all about death. Living in sin is all about death. There's no life in it. It's only little pieces, little. It's like a little trail. You know how I used to trap, when we would go in the mountains, I used to trap chipmunks. You know, you get a little cardboard box, you put a little stick under there with a string, put a little, few little chips in there, and they'll run in there to get it, and you pull the stick out, and you got a chipmunk in the box. And we would keep them and put them in cages and take them home, and just a few little crumbs in there is all you needed. And they just walk right in there. They're not afraid of the box. They're not afraid of the stick. You would think that they would think, ooh, this is different in my environment. What's happening here? But no, they just run right in there. And see, that's what the devil does to us. He drops us a few little crumbs, and so we go, oh, look what I found. In this horrible thing I've been going through, this horrible existence, and everything seems to be going wrong, oh, I found a crumb. I feel much better now. I feel much better now that I've got this little bit of something. And if that's all it takes, the devil says, good. All I have to give him is a few crumbs. All right, let's go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 3:13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. All right. All the word isn't choked. It's not all choked yet. I begin to think a little bit about God. Let me tell you the deceitfulness of sin. God puts a person. No, the devil, I meant to say. The devil puts a person in your life. They claim to be religious. They claim to go to church. They claim that they live for the Lord and they seem happy all the time and all. And you begin to look at that and that begins to look kind of good. And the deceitfulness is that they don't believe the Bible all the way. They just believe a little of the Bible. They teach a little bit of the Bible, but then they believe a whole lot of error. And they're seducers. They're seducers. Anybody that teaches that word in an erroneous fashion, teaches the scriptures to mean something different than God intended, is a deceiver. And he's a seducer. And they're going to wax worse and worse. Let me tell you, you get out there, you don't know what you might end up believing. You begin to think you want to do a little bit about, I'm thinking about maybe I'll go to church with, you know, where my grandma went. Maybe I'll go to church, and the devil says, uh-oh. So he sends somebody along. They just talk to you that week all about your soul, and they're this and they're that. And they're so sympathetic to your plight. They're so sympathetic to this or that. And they just want to help you and everything. And they want to be your best friend. And they want to, you know, and the whole time the enemy is using his own, which is false religion, using his own false religion, not lived according to the scriptures, false religion. He uses it to seduce you. Why? Because this person he sent to you, you know what he tells you? You can't live above sin. So here I was thinking I was going to be able to get free, and I was going to be able, and he says, I can't live above it anyway. I can't really get out. I can't change. You know, you just do the best you can, and you just keep asking God to forgive you. Deceivers, seducers, the deceitfulness of sin has caused many. The deceitfulness of sin has caused many to think that I can live religious and still sin. And it's two contradictory kingdoms. They can never cross. There is a definite distinction between the two, and they can't come together. But the deceitfulness of sin says, yes, you can. You can have God and sin too. Is that a horrible deception? But how many people are falling for it? How many people are falling for it? I was starting to feel real guilty about some of the things I was doing, but now, Now I don't have to feel guilty because nobody can do it. I didn't know that. Nobody can do it. So now I don't feel so bad. So now I'm ready to just keep doing it my way. I can keep doing it my way, and I can go to church on Sundays, and I can sing, and I can listen to a message, and I can ask God to forgive me for whatever I did that week, or for whatever, and this is where it goes. Forgive me for that too. And I get my guilt erased, and I keep going in my sinful ways. And the devil says, that's all I got to do. That's all I got to do to keep them here. This works. It works for him. It works for him. Just give him a little false religion. That's all I got to do to keep in sin. This is great. I don't care if they mention God. I don't care if they say the name Jesus. I don't care if they sing songs about him. And I don't care if they preach a message about his word and they open it up and even they read it. I don't care. As long as they still allow me in there and my kingdom to prevail, they can have all that. I'll concede. They can have that much. But in God's kingdom, he doesn't concede for not even one sin. It is an in. And if you commit sin, you're out. There's no conceding on his part. It's pure religion, undefiled. All right? 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. Nine and 10. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?
Right.
Don't you know this? You know, when you first left and went out on your own, you knew that. You knew that sinners weren't going to go to heaven. You knew sinners weren't going to make it. But the longer you're in sin, the less you believe that. The deceitfulness of sin, see, and all the lusts and things that come. Be not deceived. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators. Listen. When we went out in sin, we decided we were going to live it on our own. We were going to do it our way. We may have already dabbled in this before we left. But if not, once we get out there, it's going to be presented over and over and over and over and over again. And finally, it's going to be presented one time that you're not going to be able to resist. See, the deceitfulness of sin says, I could say no. I don't have to go there. I don't have to cross that line. I don't have to go there. But that's just the deceitfulness. Because the truth is, he's going to lead you down that path. He's going to lead you down there. Adulterers. Same thing. It's going to lead you down. You know, pretty soon it won't be just that I have a boyfriend, and we both could marry if we wanted to, but now it's going to be that my boss is having so much trouble at home, and he begins to confide in me, and it makes me feel important, and he begins to tell me his woes, and I begin to have a little bit of malice towards this horrible woman that is treating him so bad. And before you know it, I'm all caught up with another person's husband. Never thought I'd go there. Didn't think I'd go there. Idolaters, going out there, putting anything and everything before God. Anything and everything. I think I'm going to go out there and I'm going to remember that really, you know, God is the right way, and that someday that's where I'm going to go. I'm going to go towards God. Someday I'm going to do that. Nobody says, oh, I want to go to hell. Nobody says that. Not even the vilest don't say that. They may say, I don't believe in hell, but they don't say they want to go there. They don't say, if there was one, I want to go there. They don't do that. They'd be a little afraid to say that. Idolaters. Effeminate. We know what that means. Oh, dear ones. You think you can't be touched by this. You think you can't be touched by this. I'm strong in who I am. I know who I am. I know I'm a woman. I know I'm a man. I can't be touched by this. There are lots of people that believe that and then got touched by it. Got touched by it. Because, you see, out there in the world, in this world, the prince of the power of the air has many, many, many deceiving spirits. And you are free game to them. They can freely come and touch you and bother you, and because you're living in sin, you're living in that other kingdom. It's where they live. Don't think you can't be touched by that. Don't think you can't be changed. Don't think that you can't be seduced. You know, there has been a study put out, and I read it, and I can't remember the exact statistics, but that's very, very high of college age students that have tried it. They just wanted to see. Can you imagine? They tried it. Listen, dear ones, if you try it, do you think you're going to go free? You might think you're going to go free for a while, but you've given in to that spirit. You've embraced that. And you may think, oh, no, that's all for me. That doesn't interest me. But I'm going to tell you something. You're never going to get away from it. Out there in sin, you're not getting away. And we have people that are struggling to just feel normal again after indulging in some of these things. The deceitfulness of sin says, I can try it, and if I don't like it, I walk away, and no harm done. No harm done. I can try drugs. What's going to hurt me one time? Every drug addict had it one time. They started there. Every alcoholic had the first one drink. Every fornicator, the first time. Every adulterer, the first time. We can look at some people and we say, oh my, how did they get there? They did it once. They did it once. And that's how they got there. Just because the enemy likes to hide and deceive everyone, and he lets a few of them try it and then get free, so the others will be seduced into saying, well, look, they used to drink, but they don't drink now, so it's okay. He doesn't have to kill everybody with alcohol or with drugs. He just needs a percentage. If I work with this a little, it's a percentage that I can get that'll be strung out on drugs and die that way. I can let a few escape. I can push a few out there, take that back away from them, and tell those spirits to leave them alone, command them to leave them alone, and let them go free. The deceitfulness of sin says, I did it. I got free. And what you don't realize is that the enemy just took his hands off you. That's all he did. He just wants you to think you're still in control. You're still in control. The deceitfulness of sin says you can have everything you want. You can control everything. You can do this. You can do that. You can rise above. You can stop. but delivers nothing. Delivers nothing. Just substitute something else. The enemy says, all right, I'm going to let them go free of alcohol and everything, but now I'm going to send them that companion that is going to plague them the rest of their life. That's what I'm going to do. And they're going to be feeling so good about themselves and that they got free, and they're going to feel like they can handle things, and they're going to see little problems with the person, but I'm in control. I can handle things. I got free of alcohol, didn't I? I accomplished that, didn't I? I can change this little person. The deceitfulness of sin. All right. Galatians. We're going to end in Galatians, the 6th chapter. Verse 7 and 8. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, death. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Be not deceived. Sin, there is a deceitfulness in sin. Don't be deceived by sin. You're never going to get it. You're never going to make it. You're never going to grab it. You're never going to receive it. It's just going to be dangled out there in front of you to keep you going that way and going that way, and you're searching for happiness and satisfaction. And people get so despairing of life. They've been deceived so long, and all of the word has been choked out of them, and they get down to the point to where they say, let's just end it. And the suicide rate among teenagers is highest in the nation. Among teenagers, they're killing themselves all the time. And if they're not killing themselves, they're killing others. The deceitfulness of sin. You think you can't get there? You think that the devil can't tempt you with that? You think he can't make your life so miserable that you feel like you'd just be better off dead? And he's choked all the word out of you, so you don't even think about hell anymore. He's choked it out of you. God is not mocked. He's not made fun of. This word is true. Whatsoever you sow, you are going to reap. If you go after your flesh, you go after your own way, you're going to reap death, destruction, unhappiness. That's what you're going to reap. Listen, dear ones, look around at the people that have attained what you think you want. And they can't stay married to people. They're caught shoplifting when they could buy their own stuff. They're in drugs, alcohol. They're in rehab over and over and over. And that's what you're attaining to. I want that money. I want that fame. I want those things. You're going to reap it. In their big houses, full of all their fine things, eating great, wonderful meals every day. They're miserable and crying and doing drugs just to make it through the day. The deceitfulness of sin. Oh, they put a smile on for the cameras, but at home they're miserable. And since they don't believe in God, God gives them other things to care about. Seals. Whales. He gives them other things to. The devil gives them other things to care about. It isn't humanity anymore. I'll actually do away with humanity in order to preserve these things. That's how corrupt their minds have become in sin. the deceitfulness of sin. Amen.